Good evening. It's good to see each and every one of you. Especially it's good to see Kenny back after his long bout with his ankle. We're going to be in lesson 11. We're getting close to finishing out. And actually, this is probably my lifetime teaching. Lord willing, we'll be leaving Saturday for a week down in the mountains. And Doug is probably will take care of, hopefully, 12 and 13, close it out. Enjoy the study. I hope you have as much as I have, and hope you have learned some things about the Holy Spirit and feel more comfortable thinking and talking about spirits with it. Tonight we're going to be talking about speaking in tongues. Well, actually what you're going to be doing is making a comparison what the speaking of tongues, what we found out in the Bible, compared to what people are talking about speaking in tongues today. We had talked about some of this leading up to last Sunday. The purpose of the gift of the tongues was a confirming sign for unbelievers. You find that in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter verse 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, okay? Not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Well, the example that we used again was, like we talked about Sunday, is in Acts, the second chapter, where the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were immersed in it, and they began to speak in tongues. And this is the Feast of the Pentecost, so you have Jews there from all over the nations around the world that have come to Jerusalem. So you have all these different languages that they're speaking. And it just catches them that they see these 12 Galileans and they can hear them speak in their own language. So that got their attention. And they were curious about what's going on, what's happening here. And so this gives the opportunity for Peter again to start talking about Jesus Christ. And this is what it's for. This miracle here of them hearing these men speak these foreign language, which they know they're not theirs, but they hear it in their own selves. It made a sign for unbelievers here. And he used it and began to speak to them about Lord Jesus and about him being crucified and then also about him being raised. And so he found some honest hearts. About 3,000 people obeyed the gospel. And so you can see what the miracles did here of speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit, miraculous gift of speaking tongues, got them interested in what's going on when they saw this happening. And so now you find out that here you end up with 3,000 souls being saved. Well, the other purpose we had talked about for using the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit was to deliver God's Word. Since the New Testament, they didn't have it. Nobody had a copy, wasn't even in print or written yet. They hadn't wrote the letters or things, but now with the revelations they had, and one of the avenues they had was speaking in tongues, and if you had an interpreter there, they can interpret and tell what the divine message is speaking to them. But like in Acts, here they use it where they can speak in their own language. All the different people can hear the Word of God in their own language. And it made an impression on them. And so that only standpoint of the miraculous of gift, but they are seeing God's revelation to them. And Peter being in the spar tells them the story about Jesus Christ. Now, having tongues back then or having some gifts, created some problems, especially the tongues. And Paul talks about in the 1 Corinthians 14th chapter. Paul addresses the church misuse of the gift of tongues. He taught them the gift of tongues, like all other miraculous gifts, was to be used for the edification of the whole church and not for the glorification of the speaker. And that's how one way that they were misusing it. That here I have this tongue here that I can speak this language, this foreign language here, without even studying. I've never heard of it before, or here, but I'm able to speak it. And they were beginning to misuse it. And he says, well, you're not to use that to glorify yourself. What you're using the tongue, he's talking about, these gifts are for the unbelievers to help them see, get their attention to see what the message from God is. And he tells them about it in the 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, and we're going to read verses 5 to 19. And listen to this. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets. What's the use of speaking in tongues if you cannot understand a word he said? That's what he's talking about. Prophecy is greater because you're hearing directly the word of God revealed. Not that the church may receive edification or being built up, make stronger. Verse 6, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Well, they used the trumpet when battle. That was several different tunes or pitches that they blow the trumpet. That was for you to know that you were together, that we're going to war, or we're going to have a battle. Then you have another tune or pitch or whatever that's going to be blasted out from the trumpet, and it's to let you know that you're charged. Then if you've got another sound that comes out of it, you know that you're to retreat. You understand? You know what they are. You got a distinct sound that you're listening for. But with tongues, you don't have that. So, likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? If you're speaking a foreign language, how are they going to understand? What are you talking about? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of tongues in the world, and none of them is without synecdoche. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Have you ever spoke to a foreigner that's speaking a different language? And you're trying to communicate with them? Let me tell you, it's kind of difficult. When you try to explain your message, how to take a thing, they don't understand a word you're saying. It's very difficult. If you try to tell them about the effects of it, I mean, it's almost impossible. And that's why he's telling him, these people here. What good is a foreign language if nobody can understand you? Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel, not your own glorification, but the church. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Give me the interpretation that I will know what to tell these people what I'm saying in this foreign language. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the unformed say, Amen? At your giving thanks, since he does not understand what you're saying. For you indeed give thanks. Well, but the others is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in a church I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue with no understanding, people. They don't understand. So why are you glorifying so greatly speaking in a foreign language if you do not have interpretation? It's the gift, it's the help to make unbelievers believers. And it's also talking about, it said, if you're not, when you're assembled together and you get a divine revelation, you speak in a tongue, and there's nobody to interpret you, can interpret you, how are you going to edify the church? How are you going to build it up? How are you going to strengthen it? So why are you putting the tongues way up here and the other gifts down this way, or saying, look, I got tongues, I'm much greater than you are? It's not for your glorification or your gratification that you're speaking in tongues. It's there for a purpose. We already talked about that. Are we on the same boat? Same path? Do you understand my English? I'm not speaking a foreign tongue, I hope. Okay. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three. Limit it down. Each in turn, there's an order to this. You're just not all speaking at the same time. Each in turn, and let one interpret. There's an organization to this. There's a reason for this. There's no sense of having a bunch of different people speaking at the same time in different languages and nobody interprets you. And he says in verse 28, but there is no interpreter. Let him keep silence in church and let him speak to himself and to God. Okay? If there is nobody, if you cannot interpret what your tongue is, and if there is not nobody there to interpret, you keep silent. Because there's no edification from that. What good is your speaking in a foreign language to these people? None whatsoever. What is to unbelievers are to believers. Unless that unbeliever understands that language. Or anybody understands that language, this foreign language. And Paul is trying to help these brethren here in Corinth to straighten out their lives, because apparently they're misusing, and this is such a disarray what's going on in assembly. It seems that way. And he is trying to bring order and decency to it and edification to help the church. All right. Now, here's an example of tongues today. Dean Dennis, former South California gospel preacher, he said, about midnight, after a long prayer service and Bible study, I asked the Lord to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I wanted Jesus not only to be the Lord of my life, but to fill me gloriously with His Spirit. He did. The bold parts is my emphasis, not His. He said He did. It was like anointing with liquid fire from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. No longer was my life empty or unfulfilled. From that moment on, my job as a preacher changed into a living ministry for Jesus Christ, because Christ is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. I experience a love that is beyond description. Barriers that had existed between close friends, close members of my family and friends were broken down. I found that no one needs to leave the Church of Christ in order to have the fullness of the Spirit. But it is important that the Spirit be allowed to work freely in our congregations. It is the truth that I witness and continue to bear. This is His truth, He says, that I witness and continue to bear, what He just said. Now, I want everything God had to give, everything but the gift of praising God in tongues. I still was not convinced that God would work in that dimension today. I had a difficult time saying, "Praise the Lord," in English, much less in tongue. My difficulty in accepting tongues was based on 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. I have been taught by my church doctrine that the words, "when that which is perfect is come," meant the completion of the New Testament. However, the Greek scholar Thayer states concerning this verse that the word "perfect" means the perfect state of all things ushered in by the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. After 5 days of fasting and praying, I asked the Lord for this new means of praising Him. In the home of George Otis in Van Nuys, I received this gift of an unknown language. And I praised God in this new tongue for an hour and a half. I thank God that since Jesus baptized me in the Holy Spirit, my life has been blessed, and my ministry has changed from a dead formality to a living reality. As in the first century, we also can have a personal encounter with a living, risen Christ, and like those early Christians, can receive the infilling of the very Spirit of God. That's from a quarterly magazine called Testimony. Now, let me add one other thing to this. Y'all remember who Pat Boone is? Yes. You remember him? He was a member of the Church of Christ. What happened to Pat Boone? What did he fall into?
Charismatic.
And? Speaking in tongues. Pat Boone was also, not this time, but he was in the home of George Otis also when he received the ability to speak in tongues. And not only speak in tongues, he sang in tongues, both of them, George and Pat. And George Otis is actually a Pentecostal preacher. Okay. Now, do you see any difference between speaking in tongues in the New Testament as compared to what this guy just witnessed to you? You see anything different?
He says an unknown language.
All are. That's one of them. That's the reason I highlight that one. What do we just talk about? Every time we've seen in the New Testament, it's not an unknown language. We heard it in our native language. All the different people from all come there in that feast, we heard our own language. Anything else? Okay.
I just don't understand how somebody can be so misled by Satan that they cannot read the scriptures. I just don't believe this.
Okay.
Well, he doesn't have an interpreter.
Do what?
He doesn't have an interpreter.
He cannot interpret it, no.
And
since it's an unknown language, there's nobody to interpret it. Ken?
He says in that last sentence that his ministry was a dead formality, so he wasn't much of a preacher in the beginning.
Yeah.
If he's been fasting for 5 days, counting out, I wonder what his mental state is.
Yeah, he tells up here, well, it's interesting. It was like an anointing with liquid fire from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. He said, no longer was my life empty or unfulfilled. And here he's supposedly a gospel preacher. And his life is empty and unfilled with God's words. And yet, Doug. That's what he says.
So what language was it?
I know.
So nobody knew what language it was.
Well, and if you do some study of us, some people actually say it's the language of angels. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well,
but he says it's unknown.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
But if it was an unknown language even to him, as Paul said here, how does he know he's afraid of God?
I know. There's a point right there. How does he know what he's even saying if it's another? And how can he know if he prays God for an hour and a half? I praise God in this new tongue for an hour and a half. How does he know he's praising God? He might be cursing him out. That's right. Ready?
It's supposed to be controllable too.
Yeah.
They get up there and do this gibberish, and all we had an interpreter. Well, they're supposed to be able to control that.
All right.
The other thing, he said, I didn't want to receive the gift of tongues.
Right.
Why not? I mean, I always thought, you know, if there was one of the gifts that there was a need, if it remained, it says we had the gift of being able to speak in another language. You know, that if I could speak in a genuine language to someone, you know, in their language without having to study it, so that would be a great thing.
If you're able to preach and teach a known language, that's right.
Yeah.
That would be great. Go ahead.
Back. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said that there are things that I wish that everybody could speak.
Uh-huh. There is no benefit. Now, what he's talking about, the only thing is, it seems like they're getting gratification for that they're of superior, that I have this ability. What it is, Sherry? I think it's interesting, too. He starts off, I asked the Lord to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I wanted Jesus not only to be the Lord of my life, but to be fill me gloriously with his Spirit, and he did. So, you know, right off the bat, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit now. If he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, then wouldn't he not be like the what that happened to the apostles? Or it could be just, you know, if he's a member of the Lord thing. Now, it happened to Cornelius. Of course, he was an unbeliever, but it was to help out. But all he did was speak in tongues. But that was just to show to Peter that the Lord has says, yes, we're going to accept the Gentiles. You got something else?
Well, John's point about being fulfilled with the Word and Spirit. Paul, later in that same chapter, after mentioning it, 4 or 14, says, I speak tongues, I thank God that I speak tongues more than all of you. He says, I've got
yes.
that power much greater.
Right.
He says, but I would rather speak, he says,
five words. I understand him.
An understanding of 10,000 words and not understanding.
That's right. If he's telling this is the congregation where he's preaching at, can you imagine, and they fell for that, how bad that congregation is, Rose?
Well, exactly.
They don't know the scriptures.
For me, glorious. It's like, it's all about me.
That's right. Well, it says now, and on this says now, I wanted everything God had to give, everything but the gift of praising God in tongues. But he didn't say anything about everything else. All he talks about is one of the things that he didn't get at that. Apparently, when he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, he must have got something other from it. He says, I wanted everything God had to give. But I really didn't want that one about speaking in tongues. But until I met George Otis, though, I didn't know what a great thing that was to have that. Yes.
That's three examples. In Acts 19, it was laying on hands, and the Holy Spirit came upon them.
Uh-huh.
There was a prayer asking for the baptizing of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's what.
Cool.
Yeah, that's right. That's one of the things that come up later, too. But that's a good point. There is a lot of difference in what he says here and what we're going to look at some here a little bit more detail about the Bible says. Gary?
It says he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, but I believe
It just felt like that, what he did. Yeah, it felt like that. But like I said, I thought it was interesting. He tells you how it feels.
Dale?
Yes.
I noticed it said he's a former preacher, former gospel preacher. What good did it do him to be able to speak it in tongues if he's no longer preaching or teaching others?
He's preaching, but he's really not in the Church of Christ anymore.
Oh, he's a preacher, but not
yeah. Yeah, him and George are now, of course, George is already a Pentecostal. He is now, I don't know what happened to him now. Shortly thereafter, he, like, boom, became a Pentecostal. He came a Pentecostal, too. That's, that correlation between Pat Boone and this guy was, that's where this one, goes in more detail. Pat Boone describes about it, and there's a guy that makes a book about Pat Boone's in the speaking tongue, Bales, I think his name, which he goes in some details about it. Now, Pat doesn't go in detail. He describes it, but it's very short. Gary?
Yeah, I talked to a neighbor when he was in Australia a couple of years ago, and he didn't say anything about Pentecostal, but he said he was a
It has to depend upon the honest heart. All right, like we were talking about earlier, tongues were a recognizable language. In the Bible, the gift of tongues was the ability to speak an existing language that the speaker did not know. I mean, he was not taught it. Okay? Modern day tongue speaking is the utterance of unintelligible sounds which no one can recognize or understand. While the modern day practice of speaking tongues differs from the pattern set forth in the New Testament, it is surprising close to practice found in other cultures. If you do a study of some foreign speaking or speaking in tongues, you look at cultures back, I mean, very long time, centuries or back. In ancient times, they had listed as speaking in tongues too. But they did a lot of different things too besides speak. Like she was talking about, they did certain rolling around the dirt and anything like that on the floor. They would foam at the mouth. It looked like they were having an epileptic seizure. That they showed that they were being possessed. The demons back in the old days. But this is what they were showing, that they had a spirit come upon them. And that similarity between the modern-day speakers and that in the ancient history. All right. People are taught to how to speak in tongues. This is interesting. Keith went over some of the but if you do some more reading about it, it is very interesting how
they teach you how
to speak in tongues. And he talks about many Christians claim to be able to teach others to speak in tongues. Some even hold seminars to instruct how to receive gifts of tongues. Sometimes people are told to repeat basic sounds over and over. Okay, if you go and talk to somebody, or if you listen to them, and like I'm sure maybe with George Owens did the same thing, he'll have you make some sounds and see what you're comfortable with. That's the reason you'll have different people when they speak in tongues. They'll have different sounds, different words, different quotations, whatever. And that's how they repeat themselves. He said, you repeat that self over and over, and you do it in a different form, different way, but you do this basically the same time. Actually, if you listen to some of these people, actually believe, if they do this for a period of time, that they were actually filled with the Spirit themselves. They truly believe that something happened to them. But all it is a teaching pattern for speaking in unknown tongues. And it's, if you listen to it and read somebody, it is kind of interesting how they do this. It's all deception is all it is. Everything is pure deception. And like Frey's talking about, the gift of tongues could be controlled. A lot of them, he says, it's not controlled. I don't know what's coming out of my mouth. Well, how can he tell you to be silent? If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or more, at the most three, each in turn, let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. That means he has control over it, that he just doesn't go off and on. Go rabbles on and on and on for an hour and a half or something like that. He's in control. You see that this is what Paul tells them to do. And this is not what they're doing. The gift of tongues ceased. They're gone. There are no more in that scripture we're talking about. Now, if one will set aside personal feelings and opinions and honestly examine the teaching of the New Testament, he will find that the modern-day practice of speaking in tongues is not the same as the gift given by the Holy Spirit and exercised by Christians in the New Testament. The gift of tongues was the ability to speak in an existing human language that one had never learned. The gift was assigned to unbelievers, and if accompanied by an interpreter, was to be used to edify the church. There was specific purpose for it, and not to just to ramble on. If you run up to them, they're deceitful. They're not honest people. And that's what they're going by. They're going by their feelings. And it's not the truth. And hopefully we have laid the foundation for you last week and this week that if you run upon somebody speaking in tongues, you know what to do. Anything else before we close? Thank you.